Warning, this podcast features folklore, stories, depictions of crime, and other disturbing information that are more than likely to give you the chills. Fear, what is it? It's defined by the dictionary as an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. I consider fear to be the barking, foaming hellspawn at the back of our neck that keeps us on our toes and keeps us alive. Fear of hunger makes us work for money so we can eat. Fear of being alone gets us up off our asses and out into the world to meet others. Fear of loss, fear of failure, and so many other types of fear motivate our daily lives and keep us safe. Fear can be something simple. Take, for instance, an average woman in an average town on a sunny afternoon. She goes to check the mail. After bringing it back inside and sorting through junk, bills, and other miscellaneous, she finds a small white envelope. The envelope face features a small, neatly and legibly written address with no return. She is hesitant to open the envelope because it lacks a return address. However, she shrugs it off, thinking no one would ever send her a bomb or anthrax. She rips at the top of the envelope with a finger and pulls out a small, white note card. There are no lines. It's blank. White. There's just but one word written across the front of the note card. A word that sends shivers down her spine. She sets down the postcard on her kitchen counter and recoils in terror. There the word stares back up at her. Moist. Someone listening just cringed, but it serves as an example of things that creep us out that we might not necessarily think of. Hello, I'm Johnny Podcast, and welcome to The Chilling. Dozens of you may know me from my other podcast, The Turnbuckle Post. Well, that one is light, positive, and fun, and we mostly shoot from the hip. This one will not be like that. I may have some co-hosts from time to time, but I will be doing this one alone. The Chilling is would not be possible if not for podcasts like Scared to Death featuring Dan Cummins and his wife Lindsay. This podcast is scripted and researched. There are various different sources that my research has come from, and all the information can be found just by asking me. So what is The Chilling about? Well, over the foreseeable future, we will be touring through mostly true or purported to be true tales that will make your skin crawl and make your bones shiver. Tales like our first episode today about monsters among us, real-life dirtbags that have maimed, mutilated, and murdered for a variety of reasons. We will talk about cryptozoology, a pseudoscience that attempts to prove folklore tales like that of the Bigfoot. We will talk about exorcism and demonology, like that which Ed and Lorraine Warren of the movie franchise The Conjuring fame experienced. And of course, we will talk about purportedly haunted houses. Before we get started, I'll share a little bit about me. As I said, I'm a podcast host. I have a full-time job. I'm a father to a wonderful son, and I'm married to an amazing woman. When I was 3 years old, I experienced night terrors around the time of my parents' divorce. I would believe I would awaken in the night and see all kinds of creepy, spooky specter. One Halloween, I could have sworn I saw a man with a pumpkin for a head holding a knife at my window. I'd see haggard old women and octopus-like creatures with outstretched arms awaiting me. Thankfully, time and coping helped me to put these specters out of my young mind and out of my consciousness. Because of these night terrors, I spent the majority of my young life being afraid of virtually everything I could imagine. Even movies like The Monster Squad kept me up at night checking underneath my bed for the things that go bump. Robert Stack from Unsolved Mysteries scared the absolute shit out of me. As I grew older, I, like most people, could better determine the line between real and fantasy. I also became skeptical of nearly all things supernatural in nature. I started to enjoy horror movies and shows like The Haunting of Hill House and American Horror Story. While I'm skeptical in nature, I am of the mindset it would be rather arrogant to believe that there are not supernatural, paranormal, or other phenomena. While the world we perceive is easily understood, there are things that we acknowledge yet rationalize away to resolve the conflict in our very mind. Conflict like that which we'll talk about today, our first subject of our first episode ever, a monster among us, Ed Gein. Gein is a serial killer and a grave robber from La Crosse, Wisconsin. Just as a note right off the bat, I want to say I do not idolize serial killers. I do not get into the weird cult-like obsession that some people have over their preferred serial killers, like the Bundy versus Manson arguments. There are real-life monsters among us that take people away from their families prematurely and with malice. In some instances, the bodies of loved ones have never been found. My interest in serial killers is the ongoing nature versus nurture argument, and trying to comprehend what could drive a person to commit atrocities that even Hollywood could not conjure out of their imaginations. Ironically, however, Hollywood would take inspiration from monsters like Ed Gein as the foundation for characters featured in horror franchises such as the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Psycho, and The Silence of the Lambs. Before we get started, we need to define what a serial killer is. A serial killer is typically a person who murders three or more people, usually in service of an abnormal psychological gratification, with the murders taking place over more than a month, including a significant period of time, aka a cooling off period, between them. Edward Theodore Gein was born August 27, 1906, the second son of George and Augusta Gein. His mom resented his father for being a drunk and unable to keep a job. Another personality quirk for his dear mother was that she was super duper religious. She would instruct her sons about the sins of the world, like alcoholism, and her belief that any woman save her were essentially the whore of Babylon. Believing that being around others would eventually corrupt her sons, the family purchased a 155-acre farm in Plainfield, Wisconsin, to isolate themselves from the sinful people in the town. Schoolmates at this time described Gein as shy but possessing weird personality quirks like laughing to himself. One might think of Joaquin Phoenix's Arthur Fleck in The Joker to think of what this might look like. Even if he could make friends, his mother would discourage it by punishing him for even trying to make friends. In 1940, life dealt another blow to the Gein family when Ed's father George died of heart failure caused by alcoholism at the age of 66. At 35 years old, Ed joined his brother Henry and set about doing odd jobs in town, including Ed babysitting children, which is extremely terrifying considering what kind of monster this man would turn out to be. I can't imagine finding out later in life that one of the people that watched my son turn out to be a serial killer and commit atrocities like a monster like Ed Gein. Just 4 years later, while Henry and Ed were using a controlled burn to remove vegetation from the property line, a fire got out of hand. After the fire was put out and the local fire department had left, Ed reported his brother Henry as missing. By flashlight and lantern, a party searched for Henry, whose dead body was found lying face down. Henry had been dead for some time, and it was later determined he died of heart failure, since he had not been burned or otherwise injured by the fire. Although it was later reported by biographer Harold Specter that Henry had bruises on his head, it is entirely possible, however, it will likely never be proved that Ed's first victim was his very own brother, the fire being set to give cover to the commission of a murder. So let's pause in our story right now to recap. This family of four was now down to two, with that being just Ed and his mom. The very same mom that was so codependent and afraid of losing her sons to the world that she filled their heads with religious theology to make them believe that sin lay outside the bounds of their family farm. Ed is friendless and without family influence outside of his mother. In 1945, a series of events left Ed on his own and unprepared to take on the world alone. Shortly after Henry's death, his mother, Augusta, had a stroke, which left her paralyzed. Shortly thereafter, Ed and Augusta went to visit a neighbor named Smith. When they came upon his property, they could see Smith, and just to give you guys a warning, there's some graphic violence against animals getting ready to come up, so skip ahead like 20 seconds if you don't want to hear this, but they came upon Smith's property, and he was beating a dog. A woman came out to tell Smith to stop beating the dog. He did not. The dog died. This incident disturbed Augusta, but not for the reason that a normal person like you or I would think. She was not disturbed by the violence against the animal. However, she was disturbed by the presence of a woman who was not Smith's wife in Smith's house. She was so upset over Smith's harlot, as she called her, that she had a second stroke, leading to her death on December 29, 1945. Augusta's death devastated Ed. Biographer Harold Schechter said of Ed, he had lost his only friend and one true love, and he was absolutely alone in the world. Left to his own devices for the first time in his life at the age of 39, Ed decided to try to make a go of it and remaining on the family farm. He received a farm subsidy from the federal government in 1951 and occasionally continued to do odd jobs to make ends meet. Ed boarded up portions of the Guyon family home that were frequently used by his mother. Among these, he boarded up the upstairs, the downstairs parlor, and the living room. He left them untouched for the rest of his life. Guyon spent most of his free time reading pulp magazines that recounted tales of cannibalism and Nazi war atrocities. Around this time, 1984, a tavern owner named Mary Hogan was reported missing. According to one account, local townspeople were discussing her disappearance and asked Ed if he had taken her home for a date. He replied, "She's not missing. She's up at the house." Nobody thought anything of it because this Elmer Fudd-looking dude, they thought it was a joke. On November 16, 1957, a Plainfield hardware store owner named Bernice Wharton was reported missing. When her son, Sheriff Frank Wharton, investigated, he found that the cash register was open and there were bloodstains on the floor. Witnesses recounted seeing the store's truck leaving from the rear of the building early that morning. Guyon was in the store for the evening before her disappearance and promised to be back the next morning to purchase antifreeze. A receipt for that antifreeze was found in the store, indicating that Guyon had returned early in the morning as promised. In most investigations, police will look into the last known person to see a person alive. Using their powers of deduction and process of elimination, they decided to start with Ed Guyon. Guyon was arrested outside of a grocery store later that evening, and the police then conducted a search of the Guyon family farm. What they discovered there likely haunted their dreams and gave them nightmares for years to come. Sheriffs searching the property discovered Warden's decapitated body in a shed on Guyon's property. Her corpse was hung upside down and dressed out like a deer. She had been shot with a .22 rifle and mutilated after her death. In searching the house, sheriffs discovered whole human bones and fragments, a trash can made of skin, human skin chairs, skulls on bedposts, more skulls with the top sawed off, bowls made from skulls, a corset made from a female torso, leggings made from human skin, masks made from the faces of a female, Mary Hogan's face in a paper bag, Mary Hogan's skull in a box, Bernice Wharton's head in a burlap sack, Bernice Wharton's heart in a plastic bag, a belt made of human nipples, four noses, a pair of lips on a window shade drawstring, a lampshade made of a human face, female reproductive organs, and fingernails. Authorities obviously wanted to find out where the unidentified body parts came from. In interrogation, Guyon admitted to at least 40 nighttime visits to graveyards to exhume the recently deceased. While he claimed that he would sometimes be in a daze when visiting these graveyards, it seemed that he had a goal and a purpose, that goal being to create a woman's suit out of body parts that he would wear and resemble his mother. So much like the ancillary killer Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs, Guyon's intent was to make a woman's suit so he could replace his mother by becoming her. While DNA testing was decades away, authorities accompanied Ed to some of the grave sites that he disturbed to verify the details of his story. Guyon is still believed to be the perpetrator of other unsolved murders in the area of his farm. During his interrogation, Washura County Sheriff Art Schley allegedly assaulted Guyon, slamming his face into a brick wall. As a result of this, Guyon's initial confession was ruled inadmissible. Schley subsequently died of heart failure, with friends remarking that he was just like one of Guyon's victims. At his initial arraignment, Guyon pled not guilty by reason of insanity. He was diagnosed in subsequent mental evaluations as schizophrenic and declared mentally incompetent to stand trial. Excuse me. In 1968, Guyon was declared mentally able to confer with counsel and participate in his defense. The trial was held without jury. Judge Robert H. Golmar found Guyon guilty on November 14, 1968. A second trial was then held to determine Guyon's mental acumen. Judge Golmar determined Guyon as not guilty by reason of insanity and committed him to Central State Hospital for the criminally insane. During the time of his incarceration, awaiting trial, his property was set to be auctioned off. So the entire farm, the Guyon family farm, was going to be auctioned off. Early in the morning hours of March 20th, the Guyon family home was destroyed by fire. Arson was suspected, but never proven. Gein later died in 1984 at the Mendota Mental Health Institute. His death was listed as respiratory failure secondary to lung cancer. He was 77 years old. In the case of nature versus nurture, I'd say this monster was produced by the way he was raised. Nature created this beast. I'm no psychologist, but I'd say he was kept under his mother's thumb for the majority of his life. This dominance, especially during the years of his sexual curiosity and being told those urges were wrong or immoral, made a being capable of such monstrosity. We can observe in the animal kingdom how animals raised in captivity are unable to socialize if released into the wild. Gein lived to serve and please his mother and was largely confined to the family unit. So when the time came that he had no family left, he had no way to reconcile with the world at large. Probably beset by urges he didn't know what to do with, Gein craved the comfort of a mother suit to bring order back to the chaos that engulfed his world. What an abject monster. I hope he gave you chills, because I know he gave them to me. To think this man moved among town, admitted to having Mary Hogan at home, and people treated it as a joke, and probably would have continued his monstrous mission if not for a receipt for antifreeze, makes me wonder what kind of monsters, even today, move freely among us. And I hope it makes you wonder that as well. This has been the first episode of The Chilling, Monsters Among Us, Ed Gein. If you like this episode and want to support the show, please subscribe. If you want to be a downright godly human being, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It doesn't matter what you say, but it will help with the Apple algorithm and help spread the show. Until next time, I would implore you to trust the hairs on the back of your neck, the goosebumps on your flesh, and the uneasy feeling in the pit of your stomach, because you are likely about to experience the chilling.